It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time at Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. The NFL Draft now just 2 days away, thank goodness. I know you're tired of hearing from me about what I think the Giants should do, so we're going to bring yet another draft expert on today to give us his take on how this draft is breaking down. And that is Matt Miller, NFL Draft, lead analyst for Bleacher Report. In fact, just a couple days ago, he put out a 7-round mock draft. Matt, thanks for joining us. How the hell did you do a 7-round mock draft? I have a hard enough time doing one.
You know, it gets easier after the first round, honestly. The first round is the hard part, especially this year, because normally, you know, we'd be like, okay, we have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen in the first 5 picks. This year, I have no idea. So I tore up probably a whole notebook worth of notes trying to get a first round done. After that, it definitely gets easier.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's get right to business here. The Giants pick at number 12. You mentioned how the top 5 and even really the top 10, I think, is in flux in terms of who's going to go where. But there seems to be some consensus as to what players are going to go. Who do you think from the top echelon of your board is going to be left for the Giants when they come to pick at number 12?
Well, I'm hoping it's Eric Ebron, because I think he would just be such a great fit with what they're doing on offense now. You know, giving Eli Manning that athletic guy who can play in the slot, he can play in line, you know, next to the right tackle. He can just do so many different things to really give them some versatility on offense. And I do think he's a top-tier talent in this class, hands down the best tight end. And even when you throw him in and start comparing him with the wide receivers, I think he would probably be the third best guy there after Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans. So with Ebron, you're really getting kind of a transcendent offensive player and a guy who could really help open up that offense.
Now, there seems to be a lot of talk of Zach Martin being a late riser on draft boards around the NFL due to his versatility and the fact he's a very safe pick, you know, 4-year redshirt senior, very sound in his technique and all that stuff. Do you think the Giants will have their choice of Zach Martin or Taylor Lewan? Do you think one will be off the board, or do you think both will be gone when they pick at 12?
You know, 2 weeks ago I would have said they would have their pick of those two guys, but the closer we get, the more it sounds like Taylor Lewan's going to go in the top 10. I'm a big fan of Zach Martin. If he's there at 12, then he definitely gives you a lot of exciting possibilities. This guy, the most experienced offensive lineman to ever come out of Notre Dame, great kid, like you said, hard worker, super smart, could play 4 positions along the offensive line for you. So I think he gives you, you know, that ability to maybe move Justin Pugh to left tackle. He could come in and play the right side. He could play guard and play it very well if they decide to put Jeff Schwartz at right tackle, for instance. So you definitely have versatility with a guy like Martin. And I've said for months now, I think he could be an all-pro player at right guard or right tackle. He's that technically sound and is a surprisingly good athlete coming out of that Notre Dame offense.
If I put the GM hat on you and you have your choice between Lewan and Martin, who would you take if you're the Giants?
I would probably take Taylor Lewan. I think he's just more, has more upside. He's a better athlete overall. You know, he fits that prototypical mold, which can definitely get us in trouble sometimes. But, you know, the long arms, he's taller. I think he's more of a left tackle. And to me, you know, with the reworked offensive line, left tackle's the question mark, definitely, with Will Beatty's injury. You know, we'll see what happens, if he's ready to go, how well he plays. But I think, you know, looking at the team on paper, at least, that's probably the weak spot right now. And I think Lewan could step in and play left tackle much better than Martin could.
We're joined by Matt Miller, NFL Draft lead analyst for Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, another guy that could help the Giants in terms of their pass rush on defense, the one area they really didn't add many pieces in this offseason onto that defense. Not a lot of pass rushers in this draft, but one of them is Aaron Donald, a guy who can get to the quarterback from the inside, another guy that has been rising on draft boards. Is he there for the Giants when they pick at 12? And why don't you kind of, I realize they're different positions, but give me a compare of value between Donald and, say, an Ebron and a Zach Martin.
I think we're to the point where Donald won't be there. In my mock draft, he was, but that's kind of a what should happen, not what will happen type
right.
scenario. But I think what will happen on Thursday, I think he's off the board. And it's funny because I have all those guys ranked really closely together. Aaron Donald was my number 11 overall player. Eric Ebron was number 13. So they're very similar in terms of value. So if it's, you know, if you're going best player available, you would go Aaron Donald because that is still a position of need. And you know, talk about production. He won 5 awards after the season ended as really the most dominant, most productive defensive lineman in college football. And he's just so phenomenally fast off the snap. Looking for the next, you know, Geno Atkins type player, the next Tommy Harris. And he's definitely that guy who can just be a game changer for you at defensive tackle.
Obviously, there are no deep sleepers at 12, but if you were to pick a wild card guy or maybe somebody that people aren't thinking about that could be an option for the Giants at 12 when they come up and pick, who would you bring up that maybe some people aren't thinking about?
I would probably say Morgan Moses, and with the preface that if we see a run on tackles like we saw last year, I think there's a chance that maybe he's the guy there because
wow.
you look at the teams picking ahead of New York, I don't know that it would be a shock to have the top 4 offensive linemen off the board. When you talk about, you know, Robinson could go number 2, Jake Matthews could go in the top 5, Taylor Lewan could go to, you know, a team like Buffalo. You have Detroit there at 10, that's a possibility. So I would say Morgan Moses is, if there is a deep sleeper, kind of an outside-the-box guy at this point, that's one I would think about.
All right, Matt, here's a question for you. Based on the value that's going to be there later in the draft, in the second, third, and fourth round, you take a look at the Giants' needs, offensive line, weapons outside, whether tight end or wide receiver, pass rush, maybe a linebacker, maybe a running back. Where does the value you think drop off the most from round 1 to rounds, you know, 2 and 3 in day 2, which, you know, might dictate what position the Giants go after in round 1 so they can maximize their value? Where is there the biggest drop-off, you think, in talent from that first round with the Giants pick to the second round?
I think that's a great, great point, that you have to look at the value in these subsequent rounds. I would say at defensive tackle, there's a pretty big drop-off. And we'll see what happens with Timmy Jernigan. You know, the report came out yesterday that he failed a drug test at the Combine. I think he was probably in the late first-round discussion before that. So something like this could push him down and add some depth. But, you know, with the importance of interior pass rush, I think we're going to see some defensive tackles come off the board in round 1. So there's a pretty significant drop-off, especially if you're looking for a true pass rusher at that spot. I mean, there just aren't very many guys that I have a second or third-round grade on unless we start to see some significant draft day falls from Jernigan or a guy like Rashid Hageman, who hasn't always been super consistent for Minnesota, but definitely has all the tools that teams want from that big inside pass rush.
When you take a look at that second group of tight ends, the Safarian Jenkins, the Troy Nicholases, I'll throw Jay Samaro into the mix, and then even Fedorowicz out of Iowa. Where do you see them going in terms of placement, and how do you break them down in terms of value?
Well, I have it ranked Amaro, then Safarian Jenkins, then Nicholas, then Fedorowicz. And I think we'll see probably the top 3 guys there go in the second round. Jason Amaro could probably sneak into the late first. I mean, the New England Patriots seem like a really good fit for him if they don't look at the defensive line in round 1. But definitely guys who could be there for New York in round 2. When you're looking at Safarian Jenkins, you know, was banged up all offseason, ran a late 40 time. But really impressed with a 4.56, which is unreal for a guy his size. Troy Nicholas, also banged up, coming off double hernia surgery, so he wasn't able to really work out in the pre-draft process. So you can definitely see both those guys there at pick number 43. If they do go, maybe Aaron Donald in round 1 or address the offensive line, could come back and hit tight end in round 2 and get a really good player.
Safarian Jenkins, obviously he had some off-the-field issues. There's been some rumblings that teams are very concerned about him, you know, in the locker room and things of that nature. How did you scout him in terms of being a character guy and being a fit in the locker room, and has he put that off-the-field incident behind him?
Well, the thing when you're in the media, you just kind of have to look at, you know, really what's public record and
right.
what's not. And with him, I think he's done a good job of kind of overcoming some of those issues. You know, for me, it's like, okay, I'm going to look back. How long has it been since the guy's last recorded problem? And it's for him, it's been a year. And I think that's a good sign, is that he really dedicated himself to football. You know, he won the Mackey Award for being the best tight end in football this year, really improved as a blocker. So I thought, you know, he did everything that he needed to do to get better. Here was a guy who had an early second-round grade. With that 40-yard dash, as long as teams are cool with the foot injury, he could be one of those guys that rises, because 4.56 at his size,
yeah.
you know, this is a huge man. He's 6'6", 260. So that type of speed is pretty impressive for a big man.
What does Troy Nicholas do that C.J. Fedorowicz can't do, or what does Nicholas do better?
Well, I think Nicholas is just a better athlete. He's a little more agile in the open field. He's also still new to the position, so he's still really growing and learning how to be a tight end, so it gives you a little more upside. I'd say Fedorowicz a better blocker right away, and he's going to give you that safety valve over the middle, but Nicholas has that yards after catch ability that I don't think we've seen from CJ at Iowa.
We're joined by Matt Miller, NFL Draft lead analyst with Bleacher Report. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, how about wide receivers? One position we haven't really talked about much is an extremely deep crop. Where do you like the Giants in round two or round three on day two? If they go wide receiver, who are the guys that you like out of that second tier? The Cody Latimers, the Devontae Adams, with the focus on maybe some of the bigger bodied guys, since the Giants already have a Victor Cruz and Jordan and two guys that, you know, more the split end work out of the slot type of guys.
Yeah, like you said, love the wide receiver class, you know, with 20 underclassmen coming out, that really helped. But looking later in the draft, Dante Moncrief from Ole Miss, exceptional raw ability, just really needs coached up to learn how to be a better route runner, but has all the potential coming out of Ole Miss. Allen Robinson from Penn State, you know, definitely has the size. We've seen him play over the middle at 6'2", 220. He can, you know, I think be the bigger guy opposite Victor Cruz or Jern against some of the smaller receivers that they have. And then Martavis Bryant coming out of Clemson. You know, you talked a little bit about your character concerns. There's some question marks with him about maturity and definitely drops on the field. But he's 6'4", 211, ran in the 4.4 range at the combine. That's just unreal size and speed combination. He was kind of overshadowed by DeAndre Hopkins and Sammy Watkins, but definitely is a talented player and someone probably there in round three that could be an impact and probably a steal if he can be developed a little bit.
Boy, I've heard so many different reviews on Kelvin Benjamin. Some people love him because of his size. Other people think he's going to be a 2 or 3 year project. He's extremely raw. How do you see Kelvin Benjamin at Florida State?
Well, I think you're right. It's a little bit of all of that. And I do think he's a project because he's not a very good route runner. I mean, but he's also an older guy. You know, he's 24 years old, coming out of school as a redshirt sophomore. So you worry about the age, obviously, because he's not a finished product. You worry about the weight because he struggled with, you know, he was 240 at the combine. Coaches wanted him around 220. So he has to, I think, show more of a dedication to his craft. But you know, we saw that national championship game. He just has super strong hands when he's really honed in and focused. But you'll see just weird little concentration drops from him at times, too. So I think, you know, he just has to become a better football player and instead of more of just a, you know, a long kind of strong athlete who's out-muscling some of these college defensive backs to survive in the NFL and become that, you know, Alshon Jeffrey-type receiver that he has the potential to be. He's really going to have to work hard. So I have a early third-round grade on him just because of a lot of the concerns that you mentioned, the, you know, immaturity, the weight gain, and the fact that he is an older prospect coming into the NFL.
We're joined by Matt Miller, NFL Draft lead analyst for Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. How about interior offensive linemen? If you're trying to find a guard or a center day two, early day three, who would you be targeting if you're the Giants?
Well, there's a good crop in that area, and I like Gabe Jackson from Mississippi State a lot. Just a mauler, you know, 6'3", 335 pounds, really good power coming off the line, could play right or left guard. David Yankee from Stanford came out early. Pretty good technician, just needs to get stronger, play with a little more physicality, but he's someone who, you know, is maybe a one-year type project. Dakota Dozier from Furman, played left tackle for them, really, really played well, a strong athletic guy, but I think his best projection is probably moving inside to guard or maybe right tackle in the NFL, but definitely has big versatility. And then at center, I think there's a big drop-off from Marcus Martin and Weston Rickberg, probably, you know, early day two guys, down to someone like Travis Swanson from Arkansas, who would be more of your, you know, early day three, you know, fourth round projection, but definitely a guy who could be a starter probably in year two because he's just technically sound. I think he just has to get a little bit stronger.
Matt, if there's one spot where you're going to get value in this draft, it's running back. They're saying, you know, nobody's going to go day one. You'll probably get a couple guys go on day two, but even as deep as rounds four and five, you might be able to find a guy that can at least split time as a starter for you. Where do you think a team can find good value in, say, round four or five if they're trying to grab a running back that can give you 8 to 10 carries a game as a rookie?
Yeah, there's great depth at running back. And in rounds four or five, I mean, you could still get someone like Andre Williams coming out of Boston College who could be a power runner. Lake Seastrunk from Baylor, who would be more of that change of pace speed back, can help you out on third downs. But there's definitely a lot of depth. I mean, you get past that, you have guys like Kadeem Carey from Arizona who great vision, good balance, but just didn't have exceptional speed. Or Jerick McKinnon coming out of Georgia Southern, former quarterback, has all kinds of speed. We saw that at the combine. The guy's just a burner. So you can kind of, you know, pick your flavor. What do you want at running back, power or speed or a little bit of both? And there's a ton of value that's going to be there in that fourth to fifth round range.
The final position I want to touch on, Matt, is linebacker. And, you know, middle rounds, you know, we've seen some value. I've seen the Kevin Pierre-Lewis kid getting a lot of play recently, moving up draft boards a little bit. I'm interested in Telvin Smith. I wonder if he can figure out a way to play weak side linebacker in the pros. I know he was just 220 pounds at the combine. Who are some of those linebackers that you think in the middle rounds that a team might be able to bring in here and be an impact player for them?
Well, I do like Telvin Smith, and he was another one of those guys mentioned with the failed combine test, so that could definitely push his stock down a little bit. Kevin Pierre-Lewis, great athlete coming out of Boston College. Two guys I really like, Christian Kirksey from Iowa, could play that weak side linebacker spot. We saw him, you know, out in the slot all the time for the Hawkeyes playing in coverage. And then Jordan Tripp coming out of Montana. I thought he just had a great pre-draft process, really did well at the Senior Bowl, did well at the combine, has the hips and feet of a safety. So he could definitely come in, play that weak side spot, and help you out a bit in coverage.
Matt, finally, give me your prediction. Giants first round. If you want to throw out our second or third round pick, feel free. What do you think the Giants do Thursday night?
First round, I'm still sticking with Eric Ebron. And maybe that's wishful thinking, but if he's on the board, just would be a great fit for that offense. And I do think there's going to be a bit of a run on offensive linemen, so I wouldn't rule out a trade down, but if they're sticking at 12, I would go Ebron. And then round two, I'll go Rashid Hageman from Minnesota at defensive tackle.
Matt, great stuff. I appreciate the time. Thanks so much. You do an excellent job. Enjoy the draft on Thursday. It's finally here.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Matt. That's Matt Miller, NFL Draft Lead Analyst for Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Great information, great stuff. And that is our last mock draft guy, expert type person. So there you go. And we got another different name in there. I don't think we actually had somebody predict Ebron yet, did we? Or maybe Tony Pauline predicted Ebron. He might have, actually, now that I think about it. But we've had Ebron. We've had Zach Martin. We've had Taylor Lewan. We've had an Aaron Donald in the mix, too. In fact, in Todd McShay's mock draft that came out late last night, his mock draft number 6, I believe it was, he had Aaron Donald going to the Giants at 12. So it's all the names you've been talking about, folks. And I thought Morgan Moses was an interesting sleeper pick there. And a lot of people, you know, haven't talked much about him, but he is an NFL a tackle that's moving up NFL draft board. So I thought very interesting, great stuff out of Matt Miller there from Bleacher Report. Fantastic job. 201-939-4513. We have some calls holding. David in North Carolina has been on hold since the start of the show. We'll get to him first, and we'll get the rest of you guys in the order in which you called in. David, what's up? David. Hey, put David back on hold. He must have put the phone down. It was a long interview. I understand. Let's go to Mike all the way out in Hawaii first. I want to try to save Mike's phone bill a little bit. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Doing well, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, I just wanted to say thanks for giving me my Giants fix way over here.
I'm happy to help, man.
Yeah. And I'm Team Ebron. But I think they should go to Ebron, offensive lineman receiver. And that's it, bro. You guys have a good day.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, actually, question, Mike, what time is it out there right now?
It is 3:49. I set my alarm to get up and give you guys a buzz.
Wow. Mike, you got up at 3:49. Do you have anything else you want to say? I'm going to give you all the time you want. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm not a big talker, but You know, I wanted to say about, you know, McAdoo, he said he's going to use the guys in the right positions.
Yeah.
So don't you think we have enough, not enough receivers, but, you know, good receivers where you can use them where they're best at?
Honestly, I think the jury's out still. I mean, I think Ruben Randall's shown flashes. I'm not sure if he's shown he's good enough to be an every down starting wide receiver yet. I think he has the potential. Let's see him do it. And I'm not as sold on Jarrell Jernigan as everybody else. So I do still think they need to add a receiver, specifically one that can stretch the field with their speed. I'm not sure how much Manningham has left coming off that knee injury. So I want a big, fast guy that can stretch the field. I think Dante Moncrief is the perfect guy to do that. So I think that right there is a good selection for the Giants in the draft to try to address that need.
Yeah, that sounds great. See, I listen to everybody. I keep changing my guy every day.
I got it.
My kids hate you in the morning because we listen to you guys on the way up to school.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm turning them into Giant fans. That's something, right, Mike?
Exactly. Hey, man, well, you have a good day.
Hey, you too, Mike.
Thanks so much for all your hard work.
I appreciate it. Get back to bed. If I'm in Hawaii, okay. I'll find you, all right?
All right, Brian. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Oh, see, now I have somewhere to stay if I'm in Hawaii. That's good. Very expensive Hawaii, from what I understand, to travel there, by the way. I've never been. It's one of the places I want to go. I've not been there before. But believe it or not, a lot cheaper to go to Thailand for the honeymoon than Hawaii, and it's not even close. I mean, the flight's a little more expensive, but you can get a 4 or 5-star hotel in Thailand for like $110 a night. I mean, it's sick how cheap it is. Hawaii, not so much. Is that where you're going on your honeymoon, Salomon? You're not going to Hawaii, are you? New Zealand? Oh, you're more expensive than me. And Fiji? Jeez. Wow. I'm impressed. You'll be like hiking on those like Lord of the Rings mountains in New Zealand pretty much? Jeez. Say hi to Lucy Lawless while you're down there for me. Proud New Zealander. Shakes is in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Doesn't
man.
Sound like you had your coffee yet this morning, Shakes.
Nah, man, it was just 2 days away, man. 2 days away. Then all these questions and all these predictions go away. Just 2 days away. Gotta get Evans.
Shakes, let me warn you, all right? I don't want you to be disappointed on draft day. Do not marry yourself here to having to get Mike Evans for it to be a successful draft, because you will come away probably disappointed. So just here's what you should do. Let me give you some advice. Target 3 or 4 guys that you'd be fine with. Hope they draft one of those guys, and then you'll be happy.
That's what I always do. Like, that's what I was telling Ebron fans is they married to Ebron, and I'm like, there's other options. You know, that's why I always say, okay, well, then Donald. And if not Donald, then go Mosley. You know, dude, I want that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want them in that order. I'm not – somebody – I think I was arguing with Kashawn or debating with Kashawn on Twitter, and she was like, well, you married to Evans. I said, no, I'm not married to Evans. I'm seeing Donald on the side. You know? So, you know, hey. That's how it goes for me in that order. I just imagine Evans and Troy Nicholas in this offense. That's the offense. That's the weapons we need. Then we just got to worry about pass rush and interior line. And we can handle that in the third or fourth round. And if we don't have a third round, if we moved up and got Evans, then we can address that. Maybe in the fourth round, the guy just said he ain't even mentioned Stewart in the fourth round.
Well, he mentioned that he really thinks, and this I think this is important to note, if you don't get Weston Richburg or Marcus Martin in round 2, and I think both those centers, considering their head and shoulders above the rest of the centers in the draft, will go in round 2, I'm not sure you're going to be able to get a starting quality center in this draft if you don't get one of those top 2 guys.
I don't know, man. It's a few centers. Like the top 5 list of centers that I've seen on the list, they're good centers.
Let me tell you this, Shakes. I the only 2 centers that'll be picked on Thursday and Friday, in my opinion, are Richburg and Marcus Martin. No other center will be picked in the first 3 rounds of this draft.
And that's perfect for us. That's perfect for us because maybe Stork will fall right in our hands.
It's possible. In our hands. Sure.
Yes, it's real possible. Last thing I want to say is I wanted to ask you one thing before I say it. Y'all holding a, I'm sorry. Y'all hosting a draft thing?
The Giants are doing a draft party for all their season ticket holders over at the stadium. I will be at Radio City covering from there. Man, I think I'm going on 11 straight years I've been attending the draft, either for FAN or for the Giants. So I'll be at Radio City. The Giants are doing something over at the stadium. And those are that's the only official Giants function as far as I understand it.
Like BBK-wise.
No. Hopefully some of the guys will be in attendance at the draft. People have told me online they'll be there. I'll say hello to some folks down there. But as far as I know, there is no official Big Blue Kickoff Live party going on because most of us are going to be working, unfortunately.
Okay. No, is y'all having a show?
A show. I thought you said draft party. That's why I got a little confused.
No problem.
That's right. No. We're doing Big Blue Kickoff Live is going to be Thursday morning, Friday morning, and then we'll have a special show on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We're going to have Draft Night Live on Friday night at 7. That's going to be DeTino and I. We'll host a show together, video. They're not just audio. There's going to be video now for 2 straight hours through the Giants' second and third round picks. And then on Thursday night, we'll have a special edition of Giants First and 10, the draft edition or something like Draft Night Live. And that's going to be hosted by Bob Papa, Carl Banks, and Roman Oben. Antonio Pierce will be making a cameo on that show, and they'll kind of be on the air, I believe, from 7:30 to 9:30, if memory serves me right, or is it 8 to 10? 8:30 to 10:30, and they'll basically have it through the first round of the draft. They'll talk to Jerry Reese. They'll talk to Tom Coughlin. They'll hopefully get on the phone or in person whoever the Giants draft in the first round. So we have a lot of stuff on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It should be a lot of fun. And, of course, all the press conferences and stuff from Jerry, Mark Ross, and Tom Coughlin as well.
Yeah, y'all going to be busy.
Dude, this is a busy, busy week. And then it calms down a little bit. You have OTAs. You got like a few days of mini camp in June. And then it's kind of rest and relaxation until training camp starts at the end of July.
Okay. The reason why I asked is because we're doing like a special little half an hour show on Friday. So, if you ain't doing nothing, check that out. I think it's... We'll have it around, 4 o'clock.
Give me a shout on Twitter. Let me know, Shakes. I'll do my best to check it out if I'm not doing something else.
All right, no problem, man. All right, thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, Shakes. All right, Dave is back in North Carolina at 201-939-4513. David, good morning. David.
How you doing, man?
Hey, David, there you are. What's up?
Hey, man, it's probably... So I just wanted to...
David? Hello? Hey, David, if you're on speaker, you have to turn your speaker phone off, man. Talking to the phone.
Yeah, can you hear?
Go again, one more time.
Can you?
David, your cell phone connection's cutting it out, bro. You got to give us a call back with a better line. You're cutting it out. Nobody can understand you. 201-939-4513. Casey in New Jersey? What's going on, Casey?
Hello? Yes, I must speak the truth. We ain't had no good tight end since Mark Barava. We need a tight end to split out the field, and Eli Manning get in trouble.
Jeremy Shockey was a good tight end.
Yeah, he was a good tight end, but you know what I'm saying? But he thought it was all about him throwing the ball. After he left, we still won a Super Bowl without him.
Yeah, we won two, actually.
Yeah, he was, but New England took him. But we need somebody. He got speed. That's North Carolina tight end. He got speed. He's big. Last year, we had problems throwing the ball in the end zone. Now, with a big guy like him or my guy, you can throw that ball, live it up on them cornerbacks. Most cornerbacks ain't that tall. You live it up, it'll be a lot of scoring plays. We need somebody big and physical that'll grab the ball in the end zone. We have problems scoring. And Eli, that's the lead in the interception. But if you got a big man like that, you can just throw it up and he'll come down with it. That makes good sense.
Well, I don't think it's that easy, but I do think a guy like Ebron would certainly help your offense and help you in the red zone. I'm on board with 100%, Casey.
Yeah, and if you don't get that, everybody think, I'll take me another cornerback. You ain't got enough. You can never have enough cornerback. We got Mac and Kamari. I add one more. I like the guy Gilbert and the guy from Michigan State. I add one of them too for you. You never have enough cornerbacks. This is a passing league now. I won't mind taking another cornerback.
He would probably be your fourth cornerback on the roster, though. You have Prince and Mukamara. You got Prince. You got Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And then you signed Walter Thurmond, who was a starting cornerback for the Super Bowl champions last year.
Oh, yeah,
so.
You're right. I forgot about him. Nah, then I won't go there. I'll get the wide receiver or the tight end or, like they said, the linebacker, Moses. I'll go with one of them. That's my top three. That's who I'll go with.
Sounds good, Casey.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. The tight end will really help that offense out because they need a tight end. He got speed. He's the type of tight end. You dump the ball off to him, he can take it all the way.
He's a tight end with wide receiver skills. There's no question about it.
Yeah, like Shannon, Shannon Sharp, but like his brother. Yeah, Shannon Sharp, and Shannon Sharp was for Denver. And he was a bigger part of Denver out of them two Super Bowls. That's a good tight end like that. You're right, because most linebackers won't be able to stick him. You see what I mean? When you line a linebacker up on him, it's gonna be a problem.
Casey, I'm with you. I appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, bud.
I hope the Giants drive tonight, big blue.
Thank you, bud. 201-939-4513. # Giants Chat on Twitter. Steve's in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning.
Hey, what's happening, John?
What up, Steve?
Wait, listen, first of all, I wanted to say, I don't really want a corner, but that corner from LSU, oh, my gosh. Kid 6'4", ran a 4.27 unofficially or something crazy. Was it 4.3? I don't know.
Wait, you mean Justin Gilbert out of Oklahoma State?
Who's the kid from LSU? There's two corners. There's a kid from LSU. What is his name?
I know Bradley Roby ran a really good 40 time. You're talking about him?
No. There's two corners coming out from LSU, correct?
I'm looking up the corner list right now. Hold on. I'm not sure if you have the school right there, Steve, but stand by. I'm bringing up my corner list right now. I got to get to the right page here. I don't see any LSU corners. You talking about Jason Verrett at a TCU?
No, maybe it was the first person you said that.
Bradley Roby's out of Ohio State. He ran a really good 40 time. Kyle Fuller out of Virginia Tech.
No, maybe it was Bradley Roby. But anyway, I didn't really call to talk about corners. But,
sure, what do you got?
First of all, I don't know what you gave Paul before that mock draft that y'all posted on the Giants website, but whatever it is, give that to him the next time he's on the show.
Why is that?
I've never seen Paul so articulate and calm and smooth, man. He looked like he was well rested. I'm like, oh my God, what time did you guys tape it? It couldn't have been early in the morning because he seemed like he was just rested. Like he slept till 1 p.m. and had a nice lunch, man, and was ready to go. But anyway, I agree with everything Paul said yesterday, which was amazing. I honestly agree with everything Paul said in the mock draft. I have a lot of wants like everybody else, but at the end of the day, to me, the main thing I want is a true difference maker, somebody we can plug in from day one and who's going to have a major impact. And, as much as I like Evans and Ebron, I just cannot stay away from Taylor Lewan. I just think we got to have him. If he's there, we got to have him. I just think that, he's just too great of an impact player. I think that having him there, protecting Eli's back, and just being there for years to come, I just think, you just really can't turn away from a guy like that. And, I don't really like talking about the Cowboys,
but
me and Rhodey were going back and forth yesterday.
You and who?
Bringing up Rhodey.
Oh, Rhodey, okay.
He was talking about how the Giants, how the Cowboys may be moving up to get Manziel, which I wish they would.
Now, the Cowboys, timeout. Look, all these people out there are throwing this out there. The Cowboys are not going to trade up to draft a quarterback.
Thank you.
Going to happen. Now, they might trade up to draft a guy like Aaron Donald. Now, that wouldn't shock me, completely. That, I think, would be a more realistic option. I think the Cowboys are more likely to trade back into the first round and try to pick up an extra second or third round pick.
Yeah, there's no way. First of all, obviously, not unless Romo's not going to be able to come back healthy. It just wouldn't make any sense. What are you going to do, cut him? You're going to take a $30 million salary cap hit if they cut him. So I just didn't understand why all these rumors about that are coming up. And like I said, it just really doesn't make sense to me anyway, but anyway, John, I'm so excited right now. I didn't think I could get any more excited. I thought I was burnt out last week, but I after watching the film on some of these guys, I'm even that much more excited. I don't have anything really to speculate on, you know. I just hope that we bring an impact play in. Hopefully it'll be, like you said, I'm kind of thinking it's going to end up being Ebron. I hope it is Ebron. You know, either him or LaJuan there at 12, buddy. But that's all I got, man. I'm going to be listening in. Great show. Hopefully I'm going to be meeting my new buddy, Kashawn, out in Laurel. So, Shakes, if you can get to Laurel, I think there's, you know, there's a bunch of people who go to the Laurel Station in Laurel, Maryland to watch the games, and they're going to be having a big draft party. So that's where I'll be, and I'll be listening off air, John. I'll hit you on Twitter. Great show.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call.
You never said anything about the tweet I sent you the other day about Roman Oban or Bob Popper.
Oh, I didn't see it. What was it, Steve? I missed it.
No, I was saying, when can you bring some of them heavy hitters on, Carl Banks or you know, or Bob Popper?
Actually,
or Roman Oban. I would love to talk to those guys.
I'm happy you mentioned that. I believe Bobby, here's the problem with Bob Popper coming on the show. He does a serious NFL radio show the same time we're on. So that's why I can never get Bob on the show, because he's always doing a serious show. But Bob is not working at Sirius on Thursday morning. I've already spoken to him, and we should have Bob on Thursday morning for a few minutes to talk about the draft.
Man, I'll be waiting in queue to talk to him.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, listen, great show.
Appreciate it, my friend. Have a good one. And by the way, you mentioned Roldy on Twitter. Roldy's been killing me for not giving my Giants draft day picks or selection. So here's how I'm going to work this, okay? I'm going to give you two editions of this. I'm not ready to do it today. I'll give you one tomorrow, then I'll give you one on Thursday morning. I'm going to give you my mock draft. If I was the GM of the Giants, what I would do. Then I'm going to give you my prediction of what I think the Giants are going to do. And I'll give you the one that I would do tomorrow, and then I will give you my prediction on Thursday. And my prediction might be a little bit different than what I want to do. For example, right now, in my opinion, I think it's more likely the Giants will probably take Zach Martin than Eric Ebron, just based on their history, what they've done, and, you know, importance of the offensive line. That's nothing that I've talked to people upstairs about. This is my guess. That being said, if I was making the pick, I'd take Ebron. So I'm going to give you tomorrow who I would select in each round if I was doing the draft. And I think I have a pretty good feel for where I'm going to go in each round now. And then on Thursday, because hopefully by then I'll have my own mock draft done. And my mock draft can't get published, unfortunately, but I'll give it to you in the air, or at least some of the interesting notes. I'm going to do a whole first round, and I'll give you my Giants predictions for their picks, rounds 1 through 4 or 5. I'm not going to predict the 6th and 7th round pick. That's just impossible. But I'll go as deep as round 5. So there you go. You'll have those two the next couple of days. Hopefully Bob Popper Thursday. We'll have Bob Glauber tomorrow morning. And then we're going to have Greg Cosell from NFL Films tomorrow morning as well. So a very busy couple of days. Back to our phones at 201-939-4513. Derek is in Atlanta, Georgia. Derek, what's going on?
Good morning today, John.
Hey, Derek. How are you?
I'm well. Hey, I think all your regulars' picks and yours are well-documented. So I'm not going to hash over stuff that we already talked about.
Yeah.
I got a couple of questions about some players.
Sure.
And, so I haven't heard much about this Dante Moncrief. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, is he going to be positioned in the draft where you think the Giants would have a shot at getting him?
I believe Dante Moncrief will get picked somewhere in the first 15 picks in round 2. So I think there is a decent chance he'll be there for the Giants in the second round. If I was the Giants, I'd be thrilled if he was. In fact, that likely when I finish my, you know, when I give you my, you know, put my GM hat on draft picks next tomorrow, and I tell you who I would pick if I was the Giants, Dante Moncrief could very well be my second round pick.
Okay, and then I have another player. I mean, I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if it could be smoke and mirrors that Jerry Reese is satisfied with his tight ends on. That he has and wants to develop them.
Who said that?
It was a draft article. I think I might have copied you on the tweet from Bleacher Report.
Okay. You know what? You did. I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah. But according to what he's saying, that he would like to develop, get these first and second year tight ends some time to develop. And he was kind of, and the guy was saying, was it basically a big need or a prominent role? And he said, prominent for us. And then they kind of, then the guy went kind of through with, you know, the Giants tight ends are just basically going to get, they're happy if their tight ends get about 50 catches. And that's the way they've been operating. So I don't know. It could be smoke and mirrors like everything else. But, you know, I was going to ask you about this guy that kind of seemed to me similar to a Bear Pascoe, I guess, that we're not going to be able to sign because he signed with the Falcons. Joe Duncan and from Dixie. Have you seen him?
Say his name again, I'm sorry.
Joe Don Duncan from Dixie State.
What position does he play?
He's a tight end. He's like one of he was like a Division II guy invited to the Senior Bowl, but he had an injury couldn't make it.
Joe Don Duncan, 6'3", 268 pounds out of as you mentioned Dixie State. That's the Great Northwest Conference. I know I don't think they have a national TV deal. Last I checked, but
I did see him on the combine. And I think he was like one of the strongest tight ends there.
Yeah, he had one of the best bench presses at the combine. He had 35 reps, which is very good for a tight end. Let me look at the scouting report I have on him. Strong guy, good feel in zone, smart player, good IQ. Not really very explosive. Not he would be more of a, you know, blocker, late day three. Develop into a 30 to 40 catch a guy, game guy in a couple of years. He seems to be more of a, you know, second or third blocking tight end from what I'm reading about him right now. He's projected as a sixth or seventh round pick.
Yeah, that's, you know, and I can see if Jerry wasn't really enamored with tight ends, he could still take a tight end because, you know, maybe he thought he could get Bear Pascoe back later on. But this guy did some halfback, some H-back stuff and some fullback stuff. So you're not going to keep two. I don't think the Giants will keep two fullbacks, even though I would like them to. But he could be their like reserve tight H-back or halfback, fullback. I mean, so you know, I just wanted to shout those two guys out, and hopefully we might wind up with one of them by draft day.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Derek.
You have a good day.
Man, Derek, bringing up some deep sleepers there. Joe Don Duncan. Dixie State. That's a name for you. No, I had never heard of that guy. Not even going to front. All right, let's try David in North Carolina one more time here, see if he's got his phone connection straightened away. David, what's up?
Hey, John. Sorry about that earlier, man.
Sounds a lot better now, David. What's up?
Hey, first of all, man, it's probably been over a year and a half or so since I've got to call in. Changed shifts, and, man, this show has really grown from just you know, a couple shows a week, and now you're doing a show every day. So congrats to that, first of all.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
As much as I think all of us shakes and everybody would like the sexy, exciting pick of a wide receiver, and as you've brought up many times, you know, Ebron with the hole being a tight end, I remembered an article I'd read from Pro Football. This dates all the way back to 2011. And, you know, I've heard a couple guys call in at that time, you know, over the past few weeks, you know, man, when we had this offensive line, when we had this offensive line, we were able to do this. In 2011, Pro Football Focus has Eli Manning that year that we won the Super Bowl as the most rushed quarterback that year. I think he had over 244 pressures in the pocket, and Michael Vick was second with, like, 199. And if you just Google
that's interesting.
Eli
I didn't
Manning
know that.
Eli Manning Pro Football Focus 2011, when they did their end-of-the-year review, I think they rated Manning as the eighth quarterback in the league, and he was the best quarterback, you know, under duress that year. It just goes to show you this offensive line has been an issue for a while. I mean, we haven't been able to run the ball consistently for years. And so as much as I'm like you, John, I would love some type of playmaker just to free things up for Cruz. I think if one of the big boys are there, I just hope Martin hasn't pushed himself up, you know, with a lot of pre-draft hype and the draft being pushed out that maybe people are overanalyzing him a little bit. But if LaJuan or Martin's there, I think you got to take him. I think Jerry Reese has done the best he could to try to pick the best player available with that first pick with all the free agent signings, but I just don't feel comfortable with this line yet. I think you got to go with one of the big guys.
Now, I hear you, David. I understand the want for people to shore up that offensive line. I think you can do it later on in the draft, but if you want to do it in that first round, I understand the impetus, especially considering Will Beattie's coming off that injury.
And the other one point I'd like to make, I know Shakes has brought up, you know, and I would love Evans, too, if he's there. I think that's maybe the one exception. You run up to the podium and pick somebody like that that can be special. But to me, the reason we can't trade away picks and sacrifice, you know, future picks, everybody thinks, oh, what's a next year second or next year third? And we're stuck in this position because of, you know, the not-so-great drafts the last few years. And, John, you know as well as I do, even with all these free agent signings, what do you think the percentage is on free agent signings in the NFL that actually work out? I mean, if you had to guess. You know what I mean? I mean,
you're talking about all free agent signings? You're talking about high-profile signings? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, you know as well as I do. Maybe not 50-50, but when it comes to free agent guys, for some reason, sometimes it just doesn't mesh when guys change teams. And we've signed a lot of free agent guys.
Well, I think that's part of it, too. I think once guys get a big contract, some guys, unfortunately, do relax a little bit. Other guys, when they sign that free agent contract, they're getting older. So their play is naturally deteriorating already. And then, quite frankly, what happens is in free agency, oftentimes you're overpaying these guys more than what they really deserve because that's how the marketplace works. And eventually you run into salary cap trouble. And then, much like the Rams had to do with Cortland Finnegan this year, you have to cut guys because they're simply making too much money and they're taking up too much cap space to allow your team to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, before the cap went up, John, I'm sure you heard the rumors. I mean, look what a year-end Trail Roll had.
Yeah.
And can you imagine him being a cap casualty now? But before the cap went up, you know, there were rumors floating out there that Antrell Roll could be a cap casualty. And, I mean, you couldn't think about cutting a guy like that. But like you said, I mean, sometimes you always have to overpay in free agency, always. I mean, I just think we can't afford to trade to give away draft picks because, Jerry, that's the reason we have to be so aggressive in free agency. And I don't think anyone thinks all these free agent guys are going to work out. There's no way. I mean, the odds say that one of these guys aren't going to come in and perform the way that Reese and all of us fans are expecting. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's the facts of the business.
David, appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, take care, guys.
Have a good one, David. Good to hear from you. Happy you stuck with us. Long-time listener. Len's in Columbia, Maryland. I haven't heard from Len, I feel like, in 3 or 4 days. Len, what's going on, bud?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Listen,
how are you?
I'm coming up to the draft party. I'm sorry to hear you're going to be at Radio City, but maybe that's a better gig than the draft party. But in any event, I'm going to give it a shot and come on up and see if I can have some fun on the stadium floor. Stand on the 50-yard line, John.
Excellent.
That'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm not sure if DeTino's going to be at the draft party. I know Anita Marks is going to be there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, good.
People will be around.
Yeah. Maybe I can score some autographs, too, for the grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, it's finally here. And, you know, all I want to say, John, is from day one after the season was over, we've been talking offense. And Mr. Mara summed it up for us a couple of weeks later when he said, you know, the offense is broken. I just think we got to go. We just have to go offense. You know, we let it go. We made our decisions on defense with Hankins to replace Joseph. The face of the franchise is Eli. We gotta go offense, and we gotta go early and often on the offensive side of the ball, John. I like Lewan over Martin. I like Martin over Ebron if Lewan is gone, and I like Ebron over Donald if the two offensive linemen are gone.
I think that's a good order.
He certainly would be a major impact player for us. You know, wide receiver in the second round, maybe Robinson from Penn State, the guy from Vanderbilt, Matthews, or Nicholas. If we don't get Nicholas in the second round, then we go tight end in the third with the guy from
Iowa.
You know, I like Sims from West Virginia as a running back in four. Let me give you Shakes a name for that center position, out of North Carolina, a kid named Bodine, second offensive lineman for the Giants in the draft. center from North Carolina. And here's a real reach, John, and then I got a couple of real quick questions for you.
But sure.
A real reach. I tell you, a running back, maybe it's the second running back we get, but I would like to see the Giants somehow give George Atkinson Jr. from Notre Dame a shot. Sixth round may be a little early. We don't have a seventh undrafted free agent. George Atkinson Jr., I think this guy's got the speed. I think he'd look pretty interesting in blue. I hope the Giants somehow give him a shot. But I think we got to go early and often on the offensive side of the board. Who's in that? You know, let me set up a scenario and tell me how this works. I'm really curious about
sure.
this. First round, we got 3 minutes left on the board, and there's disagreement in the draft room. First round pick.
Yeah.
It may be different for other rounds, but who says it's going to be this guy?
Well,
who
Tom Coughlin gets on the phone. He calls me over at Radio City, says, John, what should I do? I tell him, and then he makes the pick.
Is it Tom? Does Tom have the final decision?
No, Jerry Reese has the final decision on who the Giants
okay.
draft.
Okay, all right, quick thing now. Is Mr. Mara in the room on that first round pick?
Mr. Mara, I believe, is in the room. I think for all the picks, to be quite honest with you.
Okay, all right. Does he have any, I mean, does he, I guess he can express an opinion and so forth. Maybe that sways Jerry one way or the other. I don't know. But
I'm thinking that John Mara stays pretty quiet in the war room. I can't imagine he's very active. He probably sits there. He probably just likes seeing the process.
Sure.
Make sure everything is working the way it should, things like that.
Yeah. Listen, if I owned half of a $1.5 billion organization, I'd want to be there too.
Right, exactly. So would I.
Right. Listen, now, who do you think Dallas, the Redskins, and the Eagles, it's probably only one player, John. Maybe it's two different players. But who are they mostly concerned about that we might get, John? Who do they think is going to make such a difference on this team? That not that it necessarily sways who their pick is going to be, you know, a couple of picks later, a few picks later. But who is that guy that they're looking at when we pick them, they say, uh-oh.
Who might be there?
I'm not talking Watkins or Clowney or anybody like that. But
I think it would be Eric Ebron, to be honest with you, because I think right now the Giants' offense doesn't pose a huge threat in that there aren't a lot of big play guys in this offense. And look, and here's the way I look at it, Len. If there's a weakness in this division to me, and it's across the board, to be quite honest with you, it's in the secondary. Dallas' secondary last year, porous. The Eagles' secondary last year, it was okay, but it wasn't great. They aren't strong at the safety position. Beyond D'Angelo Hall, the Redskins' secondary was a freaking mess. So to me, in order to beat these teams in the division, you want to try to take advantage of their weaknesses, right? And if their weaknesses is stopping the pass, you want to bring in guys that can help Eli Manning throw the football.
Yeah, I think this may be an exaggeration, John. I think you're right on, but I think he's the one guy. I'm not necessarily saying he should be the guy if he's that we pick if he's there. But I think he's the one guy that they, slight exaggeration, they start scheming the day after the draft of how they're going to deal with Ebron.
I think that's probably true. I agree.
He's probably the one player. You know, you always worry about the offensive line being able to stop the pass rush and you know, so forth. But, hey, it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a fun weekend. Let's get these Hall of Famers in here quick and get them signed and get them working with the team. And, you know, let's protect Eli and let's go Giants. John, have fun on Thursday night.
Will do, Len. You too. Have fun at the party.
Okay, buddy. All right, buddy.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Len will be hunted for stars at that Giants draft party. I don't think Bruno Mars is going to be there, though, Len. Sorry. 201-939-4513. I've only have a couple calls left on the line here. We got to shoot. We're actually going to shoot one more mock draft today with Bob Papa, by the way. So we're going to do that right after the show is over. I'll take my final two calls, and I'll say goodbye. And don't worry, folks. We'll have plenty more to talk about the next couple of days. Let's go to Adam in Columbus, Ohio next. Adam, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Adam?
Oh, not much. Not much. I've been busy at work, but I thought I would try to call in and weigh in at least once before the draft.
Not happy you did. What's going on?
You know, there's really not much new to be said at this point, I think. But the consensus is, you know, Ebron, O-line, maybe a little bit of Donald sprinkled in there. But, you know, you got a slightly revamped backfield. You got Jennings and hopefully Wilson back. You know, would you disagree that going O-tackle to begin with provides the most collateral benefit? I mean, there's always going to be an opportunity cost to somebody foregone in the draft, but I think that, you know, Eli hit 39 times last season and hurried countless more, a couple new tailbacks. You know, I think O-line and O-tackle is the way to go. It gives you the most ancillary benefit.
Well, I think the argument against that is that you're pretty comfortable with Pugh at right tackle. He did a very good job second half of last year. He was really fantastic. Played one of the better right tackles in the league, not just for rookies. And if you have confidence, and I think I have more than most, that Will Beattie can come back and be a good left tackle for you, I'm not sure how much benefit you get from drafting a left tackle in the first round, because I'm not sure, you know, he's going to be that much better than Will Beattie at his best. Heck, if you draft Taylor Lewan and Will Beattie plays like he did in 2011, Will Beattie might be a better player than Taylor Lewan is his rookie year at left tackle. He might be a better player. And at that point, you're really not helping your team this year if you draft a guy like that out of Michigan.
Well, that's a good point, I think. You think that's a slower or less of a roll of the dice than, you know, Ebron's production over, I guess we really don't have anyone to tight end now, but, you know, if Beattie's not and Eli's hit 39 times again, I don't think it matters if you have Calvin Johnson, Ebron, Victor Cruz, and Larry Fitzgerald back there.
I would say this. I'll say this. I think the safest pick you can make, Adam, in this draft, if you're the Giants at 12, the safest guy you could take is Zach Martin. I don't think anybody doubts he's going to be a starting lineman in this league for a long time. There's very little downside there. You know, Ebron, he can't block, you know, attitude, who knows? You know, a guy like Aaron Dahlia, maybe he can't hold up at his size at defensive tackle. There's a risk there. To me, Taylor Lewan off the field stuff, who knows? You know, he still has to face trial. So I think if you're looking for the safest pick, I think it's probably Zach Martin.
Gotcha. What's the deal with the kid Moncrief that you think might be available in the second round? I never really heard much about him, but he seems to be commonly mentioned nowadays.
Well,
I've
been talking about Moncrief for a while since the combine, and what really impressed me and what drew my attention to him is the size and speed combination. He's 6'2", which is a decent size. It's not huge. He's not Calvin Johnson, but he's 221 pounds, which is a really nice weight to be physical with guys. He ran a 4.4 at the combine. He had a great vertical, great broad jump, very explosive. He can beat guys down the field. He can get behind them. He'll win jump balls in the air. And to me, that's the perfect guy to put across from Victor Cruz.
Well, you know, hopefully he's still around at second round value. You know, that's do you take him over the kid from LSU?
I don't. Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham?
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham, I think. I would take Odell Beckham over him, to be honest with you, even though he doesn't profile the type of size that I want. I think Beckham's a better player. But I don't think Beckham's going to be there in round two anyway. He's going to be gone in the first 20 picks, I think.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's pretty much all I got for you guys today. I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll try to check back in after the draft.
Great, Adam. Thanks for calling in, bud.
Thanks.
201-939-4513. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Let's go to Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, John.
You know, Lance was very disappointed you didn't call in when he co-hosted last Friday.
He was?
Yes.
I think I listened to part of it, but I didn't get a chance to call.
Well, I mean, I'm sure once you heard Lance on the air, you figured this isn't really worth listening to, and you turned it off.
That's right. Just, you know, Lance and I, we're good. We're all good now.
I know that. So. What's up, Charlie? What do you got for me today?
Hey, what I've got is that other caller, I forget his name, was talking about what Reese said at the pre-draft conference call.
Yeah.
And he was basically saying, we don't need a tight end. You know, basically he's not prominent in his mind, a tight end position. So this is, you know, either he's blowing smoke, which I doubt. I think this is the first two rounds.
Oh, well, okay. Well, poor Charlie, in fairness, I think what Jerry Reese did at his pre-draft press conference was blow smoke. I think he blew smoke for the full 25 minutes he was up there talking. He doesn't want to tip his hat or hand to other NFL teams as to what the Giants might want or need. He doesn't want to appear to any other team in the league that the Giants are, quote-unquote, desperate to find somebody at a certain position. So, you know, Jerry Reese basically answered every question the same way. We're going to pick the best player available. We need great players at every position. We need better players at every position. But we're also happy with all our players at all our positions. So he basically
he really
said all those same things at the same time.
he really downgraded the tight end position quite a bit. So either he's like really wants a tight end, or he was really doesn't care about a tight end.
I think he's sandbagging. I think he's sandbagging.
You
to be honest with you, Charlie, I do.
I hope so, but I think Giants fans are going to be really disappointed because I think Ebron's going to be there. Donald might be there. I think there's going to be a lot of good players there. And I think Reese is going to end up picking Zach Martin, which is Mr. Booth that we had and went to Oakland.
Well, Zach Martin's a much better player than Kevin Booth. I mean,
you think so?
Yes.
First year he's going to be better than Booth, who is like could play center, could play tackle, play guard. Plus, he was a better guard than he was anything else.
Well, I don't think Zach Martin's going to. I don't think Martin can step in and play center right away. I think that'll probably take a little bit of work. He's never done it before, but I think he can step in and play guard or either tackle position or either guard position day one and be better than Kevin Booth.
So he's going to be a rotation guy, and that's where we're going to pick at 12.
No, he doesn't have to be a rotation guy. He's a guy that can be a top-quality, maybe Pro Bowl-level starter at four different positions. Imagine a rich version of David Deal.
So where are we going to put him in when we got Swartz, we got Snead, we got Pugh, and say if Beattie comes back, fine.
Well,
where is he going to be?
I think, well, for one,
he's
Zach Martin.
On the bench.
For
that's
one,
where he's going
to
be.
For one,
right?
Zach Martin can provide some insurance to Will Beattie in case he doesn't come back. But if Will Beattie does come back healthy, I think you can plug Zach Martin in at guard with on the other side of Jeff Schwartz, on the other side of the center, and I think he'll be good to go.
So you think he's going to be better than Snead? Pro Bowl guy?
I think he might be better than a Chris Knee coming off three hip surgeries, yeah.
Well, we'll see about that. But anyway, I just think that if we stay at 12, we're going to end up with Zach Martin. And in the second round, we're going to end up with another Notre Dame guy, Nicholas. And that's where we're going. You know, we're going very milquetoast, conservative. I think we need to move up if we want to get the player that's really going to make a difference in our offense. And I don't think Reese will ever take Ebron, even if he's there. He won't take him. I just don't think he cares about tight ends. And I don't know if Ebron will even be there anyway. But if we really want to get a good player, we need to move up and get to get Evans or to get Donald or to get somebody. But we're going to end up with Zach Martin and Nicholas. That's my predictions, first two rounds. We'll see what happens.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, man.
I'll catch up with you after the draft.
All right.
Have a good one. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show is Christian in North Carolina. Then I'll hit a couple of your Twitter questions before we say goodbye. Christian, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Doing well, Christian. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to say I noticed Ben McAdoo mentioned he's going to form an offense based on his personnel.
Right.
So if the line can't exactly block very long, doesn't it make it seem like he would just put in a short passing game and make the line less of a need in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think regardless, you're probably going to see shorter dropbacks, more three-step drops, a shorter passing game than what you saw under Kevin Gilbride, just by the nature of the West Coast offense. But, yeah, I think McAdoo, if he finds the offensive line can protect Eli, he can adjust. But that also puts the offense at a disadvantage. If you can't protect your quarterback for 5- and 7-step drops, it clues off the defense. You can play more press coverage. You can bring more safeties up close to the line of scrimmage because the quarterback doesn't have time to go over the top.
Yeah, so you can't exactly let it get one-dimensional.
Right.
But if that were to happen, wouldn't it make the draft a little more free in the first couple of rounds?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said if he were to maybe have a little more short passes than last year, wouldn't that give us more freedom in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, I mean, look, honestly, I don't think the Giants are hamstrung at all based on who they can pick, based on the system. I mean, I think Ben McAdoo and Tom Coughlin, everyone else putting this offense together, can build this offense around no matter who the Giants pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see. And the last thing I wanted to mention is just because Beattie is making such great money, does that mean he shouldn't really have competition for his starting role?
I think it doesn't mean he shouldn't have competition, but I think it means that if the Giants had their preference and if all things are equal, they'll give Will Beattie the job because he does have that big contract.
Right, or maybe at least have him in rotation. That way he can really excel in the pass blocking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can do that, but you also can't clue off defense. It's like, oh, Will Beattie's in, you know, they know we're going to pass now. So there is a balance. I think it's kind of hard to rotate offensive linemen in and out. You lose your continuity that way. Offensive lines need to know how to work together. That's a lot of times where their strength comes from. So I'm not a big fan of rotating offensive linemen, to be honest with you. That's not something I would do. But, look, Will Beattie has to come back, and, you know, he might be the most important player on this Giants roster next year. If he can come back and have a big year, I think the offense will be better. If he can't block next year and he has another year like he did in 2013, this offense is going to be in trouble unless they draft a replacement in the first round like Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, because if you get a first-rounder, that could possibly be cheap enough for him to win the job over Beattie and still not be breaking the bank over left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I appreciate the call, Christian.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, man. Everybody, good job on the phones. Let's take a look at Twitter here. See what we got here on Twitter. Let's see. Someone a little incredulous that they compared Eric Ebron to Shannon Sharp. I don't know if that's that bad of a comparison, to be honest. I think that's actually a pretty good comparison. Joe Colombo, Detroit's still trying to build outside in 10 years later. Haven't figured that out yet. At least the buffoon Schwartz is gone. The Lions did try to draft a lot of wide receivers, and they might draft another one in this draft. Somebody else had brought up that there's rumors they might trade up to get Mike Evans, which wouldn't shock me. The Lions, when I say I want to try to add a playmaker to help out Calvin Johnson, because, you know, besides Reggie Bush, who else on that team is scaring you with the ball in his hands? And they had that other running back that had a good year last year, too, but nobody really in the passing game that scares you. Let's see what else we got here. In the second round, who will be a better value, Jenkins or Moncrief? I like Moncrief better. I'm guessing you mean Safarian Jenkins or Moncrief. That's from at SunnyBoy2323. I think Moncrief is probably the better player. But Jenkins probably might give you a little bit more value. You know, it depends how the Giants view Jenkins off the field stuff, to be honest with you. I think as a player, Safarian Jenkins is good. And frankly, I know Giant fans aren't going to like me when I say this. Especially if you pick an offensive lineman in the first round, I would take Austin Safarian Jenkins over Nicholas in the second round. And frankly, it's not even that tough of a decision to me. I think he can be much more of a threat in the passing game. And I think he can block a little bit too. Let's see what we got here. At Zomac, been Team Ebron for a while, but I have a feeling we'll go with Zach Martin. I'll give you a little preview. That's what I think. That's what I'm thinking as well. I'm with you on that. The Beattie sandwich. If Aaron Donald is there at number 12, the Giants need him. Quick scenario: Romo drops back to pass, sacked by Donald. Do you see that? That's a fair point. I think teams would be concerned if the Giants drafted Aaron Donald. That's from Beattie Sandwich. Anthony and Phoenix, we can get a good tight end with the 43rd pick, Troy Nicholas. Yeah, but he's not going to be that dynamic pass catcher you can get from Eric Ebron. I guarantee you that. Let's see what else we got here. Everyone thinking Jerry Reese is playing a little bit of poker. What else do we got here? All right, I think that's pretty much all we got here in terms of what everyone else is talking about on Twitter. So, once again, tomorrow we'll be joined by the great Lance Meadow, Paul Dottino Thursday, Meadow on Friday, and then on Saturday we'll have a cavalcade. It'll be the Dottino or Meadow. I'm not sure which one. We'll have one of those two guys in. At least that's the plan. We'll see what happens. Tomorrow, Bob Glauber off the top of the show. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, at 10. He'll talk about breaking down tape of college players. And I'm going to more get into the process with him tomorrow than anything else. And I'm going to give you my prediction on who I think the Giants should pick if I was the general manager. Then I'll give you my prediction on who I think they will pick on Thursday morning when I'm on with Dottino. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Giants.com, 9:30, Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll see you then.